Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio and our SmackDown Report. Mark coming live from the SBTV studios right here in New York every Thursday without, or I should say Friday without fail. Blog Talk will not let us get on the air. Oh, we try and try and we retry and we retry. And after about 40 tries, ridiculously let us in the few minutes we're probably going to have before they boot us off. Service, folks. Service. Anyway, if you'd like to get in the conversation, and we're still on the air, 347-188-4876. Questions and your comments and your opinions there as well. Before we go down to the track series, then the death of the legendary Harley Race, who died from complications from lung cancer in his late 70s. Harley Race, certainly, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that, you know, the word legend is thrown around so much. But Harley Race truly was. Harley Race was truly someone who paved the way, not just for his generation, but in so many people. Absolutely be missed, but never forgotten. Not by real wrestling fans. So, Harley Race in the world of professional wrestling. So, now let's get to SmackDown. And, folks, I have to tell you, every week I come on here, and I'm on here 3 times a week. And most of the time, I know I'm griping about this or I'm griping about that. Once in a while, there's a bright spot. But God have mercy on us all. The WWE cannot put on a show, a 2-hour show, that featured matches that I'm definitely excited about seeing and make it watchable. I don't know. I don't know where the future lies for WWE. Or even pro wrestling, because to a lesser extent, there are some pro wrestling companies who are making it happen, but the WWE is not one of them. Not anymore. And as I'm looking down the barrel of a pay-per-view, SummerSlam, that used to be one of the biggest pay-per-views, and I'm looking at a card that can only be described as extraordinarily predictable and not all that interesting, I turned to last night's SmackDown for answers. I really did. Let's really dissect what's wrong here with the WWE, because they got the greatest roster in the history of the business. They've got more money than they know what to do with. They've got more TV time than they know what to do with. They've got their own network. So what could possibly be wrong? What could possibly be the issue that they can't get this together? And it seems to me that the answer is they just no longer understand this business. I don't know whether Vince McMahon has gone senile, lost his mind, doesn't have anything to do with it anymore, doesn't care. I don't know whether Triple H has washed his hands or he's purposely trying to sabotage it so NXT will do better. I don't know what the situation is. There's all kinds of explanations for this. But the bottom line is, I don't think the WWE understands the actual business of professional wrestling anymore. And when that happens, if this was an upstart company, the very first thing I would have said is, well, they don't have anyone who understands the business, and it's going to kill them. You can't really say that about the WWE. How long have they been in business? You got tons of people there who understand the business. So what happened? What happened? Let's take this one step at a time. Kevin Owens comes out and gives a fair speech. Kevin Owens is not comfortable as a face. The reason Kevin Owens is not comfortable as a face is because he's being asked to totally change his entire personality. And it's not necessary. Kevin Owens should have come out with the same Kevin Owens chip on his shoulder, saying the same things that Kevin Owens always said to the faces, except say it to the heels. Now, granted, he started out saying, how are we ever going to survive without Shane McMahon here tonight. That was okay, but then he starts stumbling over his words a little bit and saying, well, I will beat you. Well, what are you supposed to say? I will beat you, Shane McMahon. Okay, well, that's great. You know, it takes 5 seconds for Kevin Owens to just come out there and say, hey, Shane, here's the real deal. The only reason you ever got into a wrestling ring even one time in your entire life is because your father owns this federation and it must be on your bucket list. You took a few chances in your life and did a few high-risk moves to get yourself over, but the fact is you were never one of the boys. You're never going to be one of the boys. None of the boys think you're one of the boys. You are cosplaying a professional wrestler. And it's insulting, it's demeaning, it's ridiculous, and the people who won't tell you to your face still think it. And that's what I'm going to put an end to in SummerSlam. That's all I have to say. But what do we get? We get Drew McIntyre coming to the defense of Shane McMahon. Because, of course, Drew McIntyre is the perfect guy for a setup guy. Well, before you get to Shane, you got to get through Drew McIntyre. Because, after all, Shane McMahon is so much tougher than Drew McIntyre. Do you not understand, WWE, that if Kevin Owens clean pins Drew McIntyre, there is no reason in God's green earth for anyone to think in a million years that Shane McMahon will not suffer the same fate. I mean, a better setup would have been for Shane McMahon to actually be there and come down and cost them the match. Because then at least you could say Shane McMahon's a lying bastard. He cost Kevin Owens the match, and now Kevin Owens really is going to tear his head off. Nope. And worse than that, you're feeding the announcers lines like, well, I mean, okay, he's doing all right against Drew McIntyre. That's not Shane McMahon. Are you kidding me right now? Hey, Drew, run. Don't walk. Run the hell out of this federation. Run the hell out of this federation. They are destroying you. What have you won? You've lost twice to Cedric Alexander, and once to Cedric Alexander, and you've lost to Kevin Owens, and you're Shane McMahon's a setup guy. This from a guy who several months ago we said could be the top heel in this entire federation. Absolutely absurd. Could you not have trudged down Elias? Could you not have trudged down someone else? Did it have to be Drew McIntyre? I want to be in that production meeting where they say, well, what we're trying to say is, okay, Shane McMahon is not here. Drew McIntyre is going to defend him. But Kevin Owens is going to be too much for Drew McIntyre. But that will leave the fans thinking, well, okay, he got by Drew McIntyre. But can he get by Shane? Are you kidding me? Is that really what you want? Is that really what you want? You killed the match. I don't care if Shane McMahon wins. It doesn't matter. You still killed the match because it doesn't even make any sense for Drew McIntyre to be the setup guy for a Shane McMahon, Kevin Owens match at all. You know, you used to have these matches where you say, okay, a guy who's really, really tough is going to fight a guy who's really, really tough. The setup match for that match is going to be one of the tough guys is fighting a guy who's there in mid-card. And he'll get by him and say, look how easily I got by him. I wait till I get my hands on you. And fans say, yeah, well, but that guy in the ring isn't the guy you're fighting. That guy in the ring's decent, but the guy you're fighting's great. See, that's how it used to work. Now it's, no, the great guy, the guy we should be pushing, he's going to be the setup guy for a 50-year-old father of three who occasionally wrestles. And we're supposed to say, well, you got by Drew McIntyre, but Drew McIntyre is no Shane McMahon. I just couldn't believe what I was watching, Mike.
I couldn't believe what I was watching here. And look, this smacks of what happened the moment Vince McMahon came out, 10, 15 years ago and said, Drew, you are the chosen one. What happened after that? Not six months later, What was Drew McIntyre doing? Playing air guitar in 3MB. That's what he was doing, you know. And And I wouldn't be at all surprised if he's doing something like that soon. I mean, he, like you say, he ought to run, not walk, run out of this company and run probably back to Impact, you know.
Where go anywhere he, that you have to go, Mike, because he's got to get the hell out of Dodge. Look, the bottom line is this. If you want to have – if you're coming to me saying, look, we need Kevin Owens to look strong going into the Shane McMahon match. How do we do it? Well, you don't do it by getting by Drew McIntyre. But if you do want Drew McIntyre in there because you just want him in there, then how about you have Drew McIntyre disqualified for purposely trying to injure Kevin Owens, purposely trying to take his leg out, purposely trying to do something where the announcers can say, I get it. He doesn't care if he wins. He's just trying to soften him up for Shane McMahon. Gotcha. Drew McIntyre's job tonight wasn't to come out here and win. He purposely got himself disqualified. He doesn't care about the win and loss. He's trying to soften him up for Shane. At least it makes sense. For Drew McIntyre to just get pinned and have those announcers with a straight face say, well, but he's going to have to deal with Shane at SummerSlam. Oh, my God. I felt like turning the TV off right there. But then we got Bayley and then Ember Moon, and Bayley says, well, I guess we're teaming up tonight, even though you threw me to the wolves and gave me your finisher last week. But I'm not mad at you because that's just the kind of person I am. However, if you do decide about double-crossing me, then, you know, there's going to be trouble. Okay. Well, Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross are their opponents. And I'm saying to myself, well, there is going to be trouble. Bayley and Ember Moon are going to get into it. No question about it. I mean, they're the two that's fighting. They're going to get into it. Wrong. Alexa Bliss just simply pins Ember Moon. Great. So your number one contender has just been pinned by someone who has been pinned twice by the person she's facing. That makes her look good. That's terrific. Terrific way to build up Ember Moon. Terrific. Because, of course, Ember Moon pinning Nikki Cross, or Ember Moon only getting pinned because Bayley and her have a cross-up of some kind, and she blames Bayley, and they get into a shoving match or something. No, that can't happen. Just make Ember Moon look like she's an unworthy contender that was handpicked by Bayley because Bayley knows she can beat her. Because that's what it looks like now. What it looks like is Bayley said, well, I don't know. I don't feel like really defending my title against anybody who could win. So I'll pick Ember Moon. She's not going to win. And it'll be an easy night for me. And, oh, yeah, by the way, Alexa beat her, too. I told you. She can't. She's nobody. I don't even understand the concept behind having the number one contender lose this match, Todd.
Like you said, I don't know why they had this reversed. It's backwards ass booking right there. And you must build up your challenger to win matches to get a title match, a title shot. Not lose, then get a title shot.
And you actually have your announcer saying, well, they should add Alexa Bliss to the match now because she technically won. She beat the number one contender. My God, we've saw Alexa Bliss twice lose. Do we have to see her lose any more times? And you wonder why. You know, I'm so shocked because it seems like the majority of fans disagreed with us and thought that Raw was spectacular and wonderful and how the women's division was really coming along. I don't understand what the hell you're watching. Not the same thing I'm watching, obviously. So you want to start out with Kevin Owens and Drew McIntyre, fine. Drew McIntyre, after 5 or 6 minutes or 8 minutes, however long, decides, I'm just going to go ahead and just take a chair and smash Kevin Owens in the leg 600 times. I know I'm going to get disqualified. But I wasn't out here to win the match. That makes sense. We're okay with that. Ember Moon and Bayley either get crossed up, and Ember Moon, it leads to Ember Moon getting pinned, which she immediately blames on Bayley, and they get into it. Or Ember Moon gets a very, very spectacular victory where Bayley has to reluctantly say, whoa, I didn't think she had it in her. Nope. Let her count the ring lights. She's only the number one contender in a major pay-per-view. Who cares about that? No big deal. Again, Mike, I don't understand it.
I don't understand it either. And look, here's what's funny about this. When they want to build somebody the right way, they did it. How did they build Becky Lynch to where she is right now? All right. Now, yeah, she lost a lot, but for several months, she basically tapped out the entire division. You know? That's how you do it.
But that's even that, Mike, was an accident. I mean, they wanted her to be the number one heel. According to the Road Dog, we got the story wrong. Becky Lynch is an evil bitch. And we all should have been booing her. We just don't get it. So even that, they got lucky with. But then we get a pretty good backstage segment with Dolph Ziggler, who says, I don't understand why people don't get it. These legends just take up space. They're always back here for one more hurrah. We saw how good Goldberg was. Boy, they're really using that, huh? We saw how good Goldberg was. We saw how horrible Shawn Michaels was. But then we get the reveal that he's not fighting Shawn Michaels. He's going to fight The Miz. And he says The Miz isn't even the best wrestler. Not only is The Miz not the best wrestler in the company, he's not the best wrestler in his house. Which was pretty good. And then he says, I'm going to fight Finn Balor tonight. And I'm saying to myself, poor Finn. Poor Finn, because what's ending up happening now is he's requested some time off. He just got out of a sick bed, a hospital bed, for a stomach virus, and he's going to drop. But I knew he was going to drop with some interference by the Fiend of some kind. You knew that was coming. And even though I have to give Finn a little bit of a pass, because again, he got out of a hospital bed, I don't know how good he was feeling, but I can tell you this. Finn Balor versus Dolph Ziggler should have been a match that I say, look, Ziggler's winning with the interference of the Fiend, I get it, but wow, we're going to see a really good match. And instead, we saw, let me go through the motions. Let me hit this move. Let me do that. The fans are expecting to see this. Then you do this. Then you do that. Fiend, do your thing. Super kick. One, two, three. Bye. You're talking cookie cutter. You are talking about just going through the motions, giving nothing extra. No drama, no story, no nothing. It's just get in there, do your required five or six moves, and get out. Don't try to thread together a story. I mean, that match could have been very impactful. Again, I don't know what Finn Balor's help was, but if you gave those guys 15 minutes where it was really back and forth and they were telling a great story and then that the thing happened with the Fiend, it means something. It didn't mean anything in this match because it's just like Finn Balor's going to hit this move and then Ziggler will hit this move. You could have called it. You can close your eyes and listen to the audio and you still know what's happening in the ring because that's how predictable it has become. It's just go in there and hit your move. Go in there and do your 4 minutes and try to get in as much of your signatures as you can and then just go to the ending. There's no passion in it anymore. There's no storytelling in it anymore. There's no let's really go out there and make the fans think we're fighting anymore. It's just like, no, you do your moves, I'll do my moves. They may as well just dance. They may as well just go out and shuffle off the Buffalo. Because it's irrelevant what they're hitting. Sling Blade, big deal. He's not winning. Oh, he's in the drop zone, which is the new thing. Yeah, big deal. He's not winning. This did not feel like a fight. This felt like stall around in the ring until the Fiend shows up. Hit a few of your signatures and that's it. Just stall around. Don't give the fans anything. Just mail it in, mail it in, mail it in. Same moves, same pattern, same everything. It's like playing Pac-Man. Once you've figured out the pattern, the game isn't that much fun. Because it's always the same pattern. It doesn't change. Well, that's like WWE wrestling. I knew exactly what was going to happen in this match. And I thought, well, if they give him 10 or 15 minutes to really put on a dramatic match where it looks like Finn Balor is, you know, going to win. And I know they tried to make it look like he was going to win, but it was all mail-in crapola. There was no drama in this match at all. It just felt like two guys going through the motions, doing the same old they always do. It's like factory assembly work. Put this piece on top of this, put it in the box. Put this piece on top of this, put it in the box. Same thing every time, every single time, Mike. And that's really what's wrong.
Right. I mean, yeah, assembly lines are good, but not this way. You know, I mean, when Ford first came up, perfected the assembly line, it was good because what would happen is you had quality and you had quantity coming out at the same time. That's not this. You know, this is not that. I mean, a couple years ago we praised Ziggler and The Miz for their matches. A couple months ago, we praised Andrade and Rey Jr. for their matches, you know? I mean, where are those type of matches?
Great professional wrestlers find a way to make their match interesting and not just say, well, I got to get in my five moves. I don't care if you get in one of those five. If the match is good, it's good. It's almost like it's become that assembly line where you say, well, wait a minute, you got your five things you always do. I got my five things I always do. We got 4 minutes. We'll get them all in. Why are you thinking those terms instead of just saying, well, we don't have long. Forget all these signature moves to get in. Let's just go out there and fight. Let's just go out there and say, well, we never really got a chance to get to that point in the match where I could hit these signatures because 4 minutes into it, we were interrupted. How come you can't do that? Because that makes it look a lot more realistic. Nope, can't do it. Got to get in all my moves. Got to get in all my signatures. That's what wrestling's become now. They don't even try to make it look like it's a fight anymore. They don't even try. And that's a shame. Then we get the news that Shinsuke Nakamura, who doesn't even get the benefit of his introduction as a champion, by the way, you come back from commercial break, he's in the ring. He's champion. He's going to fight Ali. Non-title match. And I said, wait a minute, did we not just see this in Smackville and it was a title match? And Ali lost? Did we not just see this on the network as a title match and Ali lost? The answer is yes. So now let's pretend it never happened. And they say, well, if Ali was able to somehow, miraculously, by the grace of God, manage to get a upset victory over Shinsuke Nakamura, you would have to consider him. His name might be mentioned in the list of contenders. In what list? Give me the list. Give me the list. You don't have any. So, yeah, his name might be, because he'd be the only one, right? Because you have none. So, gee, I wonder if he's going to win in this non-title match that's not going to cost Shinsuke Nakamura the belt and you don't have a contender to go against him. Gee, I wonder what's going to happen. And once again, it looked like these guys were just mailing it in. Mail it in. Two great wrestlers. And they're mailing it in. Now, it's not their fault. I'm not saying, oh, these guys are lazy or they're not trying. They're given a very short time period and told you got to get in this and that and this and that. And they're like, well, this, I don't even know how to do that. Instead of letting these wrestlers just go out and say, look, we don't have a long time. How are we going to get the most out of this short match that we're going to have? And it's not going for the finisher immediately. It's not going for all my signatures the minute the bell rings. How do we make this look like we're really fighting and get the crowd into it before the ending? They don't do it anymore. So it just looks like, okay, going through the motions again. So once again, we get a match where two great wrestlers are going through the motions. Nakamura's pinned by just a little roll-up pin and oh my God, do you think maybe Ali might now be mentioned in the same breath as all those other long list of contenders that nobody can name one? I mean, this is boring. Ali comes down and you're like, well, it's a foregone conclusion. Ali is winning this match. I don't know why, since he's already lost his title match at Smackville, but okay. I guess the reason is because you don't have anybody else. We know what's happening. You're going to be setting him up for Aleister Black. We get it. But this just doesn't make any sense to me, Todd. We've just seen Ali lose a title match. So why in the world, at best he'd be 50-50 against Nakamura, why in the world would the announcers act like that match never happened?
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's, I don't know why they did this rematch again. It's like, it don't make any sense there. They already did it. We don't need to see it again for a while.
And you notice they didn't show anything from Smackville and say, well, you know, these two did fight before and Nakamura won. Oh, no. Forget that ever happened, folks. We're resetting the page. This is the first time Ali's ever gotten a ring with Nakamura. I hate when they do that, Mike.
I don't like it either, and that's the thing. I mean, if you really want to look at it, the last two, the two times when Nakamura has held the championship, what is his championship round? What has his championship reigns meant?
Nothing.
You know, championship reigns are supposed to mean something, and I mean, I guess you can say he's a different cat, and he's already a legend, and he don't care, but. Yeah, in my mind, championship reigns are supposed to mean something.
Yeah, of course. Of course. See, we see the writing on the wall so far ahead of time that almost nothing matters. If you were to watch the last episode of Game of Thrones, what is your chances that you would say, okay, let me watch from season one, episode one until now? You already know how it ends, so you're probably, it's no big deal. Now, nothing suspenseful. I know what happens ultimately to these people. That's the problem. We know what's going to ultimately happen to Shinsuke Nakamura. He's going to fight Aleister Black and lose. We get it. We have the King's Court. Trish Stratus is there. She's interrupted by Charlotte. Now, here's another thing that's wrong. You press leaked. Guess what? Charlotte's fighting Trish Stratus at SummerSlam. You knew that was out. You knew that the world knew it already. So to have Charlotte Flair come out there like a goddamn fool and have to say, I'm here to challenge you, and Trish Stratus acting like she's thinking about it, well, I don't know. Should I? When we already know it's scheduled, makes her look stupid, and it makes the whole damn show look like crap. Why couldn't Charlotte Flair come out? Why couldn't you change it? Why couldn't you call an audible and say, look, the cat's out of the bag on this. So instead of you coming out and challenging her and having Jerry Lawler say, did you ever think about having just one more match? Why couldn't she come out and say, Jerry, I'm out here tonight because I wanted to announce that for a long time I've wanted to have one more match. Just to see if I still have it. And it would have been very easy for me to pick somebody who was up and coming or didn't have my, you know, experience or whatever. But I don't want that. I want to challenge myself with the best. And that's why I handpicked Charlotte Flair. Then Charlotte Flair could have came out and made fun of her. Charlotte Flair could still come out and say, well, you're a mother. You belong... doing the, changing diapers. You were good in an era where girls shook their ass. And that was good enough. That's not what this era is. That still would have been effective. It would have been more effective. But to come out like it's a big shock, I'm interrupting this because I'm here to challenge you. Well, we already know the match is scheduled, you morons. Once this stuff is leaked into the internet, you have to change it. It's not hard to change that. You go from Charlotte, you were supposed to go out and challenge Trish Stratus, and it was supposed to be a shock, to, nope, cat's out of the bag, Charlotte, so Trish is going to announce that she has a match with you, and then you're going to come out and say you accepted it just to prove a point, and that is that these are two different eras. She was a champion in an era where they were divas and all they did was pillow fight. That'll work. But having Charlotte Flair come out there and make a horse's ass out of herself, Mike, acting like she's surprising Trish Stratus when everyone in the audience already knew the match was taking place, is ridiculous.
Right. And look, you mentioned Charlotte Flair looking like an idiot. I mean, if I were Ric Flair, I would be pissed as well. You know, you're treating my daughter like this?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like we don't call audibles here. We plan this, and this is what's going to happen. I just don't understand it. It reeks of laziness. Because I swear to you, if I owned this company, if I was Vince McMahon, and I said, we're going to try to keep the cat in the bag about Trish Stratus fighting Charlotte, but it leaked. First, I'd be pissed and say, how the hell did this leak out? But secondly, I'd say, well, that changes everything, doesn't it? I can't have Charlotte go out there like it's a surprise. Everybody knows it. So I'll change it. Trish Stratus is going to go out and announce that she's challenged Charlotte, and Charlotte has accepted. And she's going to act like she's so grateful to Charlotte and that she handpicked Charlotte because she thinks Charlotte's the best. Then Charlotte's going to come out like she's grateful too, but then she's really going to lay into Trish Stratus and say, I took this thing because I'm going to prove a point. And the point is that you were a champion when there was nothing but divas and pillow fighters and girls who shook their ass for a living. You didn't pave the way. You were a roadblock. We had to push you out of that way. And now I'm going to prove it. Because that would be much more effective than to just have her come out and say the inevitable. Again, laziness. By the way, the WWE does have to stop these leaks. I don't know who's doing them. I don't know how they're getting to them. I know there's a million people with sources. I have sources, but sources should dry up to a certain extent. If you find these people who are leaking this stuff, you got to fire them. And I'll tell you why you do, because it's ruining your business. Because nothing's exciting. You know how when like a Marvel movie comes out, people say, no spoilers, no spoilers, please. Wrestling is nothing but spoilers. You know what's going to happen weeks ahead of time. Sometimes a month. Anyway. So we're getting that match. Then we get a weird Aleister Black thing where he's back in a room asking to be challenged again. I don't know what this is. It sucks. Simple as that. It sucks. It's dumb. So you're a professional wrestler and you get paid to fight, but you won't fight until somebody actually challenges you. Yeah, that's dumb. So for the first time in I don't know how long, Sami Zayn has an interview and he's right. He's like, I don't know what the freak is wrong with the guy. He's a professional wrestler. You don't wait for somebody to challenge you. What the hell? Come out and fight. So I'm going to teach him a lesson because we all know, based on how well he did in that gauntlet match Monday night, that Sami Zayn is a real threat to Aleister Black. How do we know that? Because he did so well in that gauntlet match. Don't you remember? He lasted well upwards of 40 seconds. Unbelievable. But I think to myself, well, the night could be saved. Because AJ Styles and the club are going to take on, well, AJ Styles is going to take on Kofi Kingston, but the club's going to be at ringside and the New Day is going to be at ringside. And I'm saying to myself, this is the Von Erichs Freebirds of the WWE. This is where the future is here. You could make something big out of this. Really big. Really big. Now, I know that, with the wild card, it doesn't matter really what brand you're on, but this could be big. And I'm saying, well, this is just tip of the iceberg here. probably Randy Orton's going to interfere. Maybe Ricochet will come down and help. I don't know what's going to happen, but there's not going to be any conclusion to this. They're not going to make the New Day look weak, or especially Kofi going into his match with Randy Orton, and they're certainly not going to have AJ Styles take a pinfall just after forming the new club and all this. This is just going to be that little tiny taste of, boy, do we have a storyline for you. These are going to be bitter enemies for a long time. Nope. AJ just loses. Yeah, you lose. Who cares about you? We formed the club. We did what you wanted. Now you're all jabrones. You got the belts, but you're jabrones. If it's a non-title match, you guys are losing every time. Because God forbid, did DX lose every single time they got in the ring in non-title situations? I don't think so. Did the NWO lose every single time they got into the ring in non-title situations? I don't think so. What's going to make the OC special? Your leader loses in non-title matches. You lose in every non-title match you're in. I don't get this. I thought you wanted to make these guys special. I thought you wanted to make these protect these guys. I guess not. Now, this was a good match. Anything with AJ Styles and Kofi Kingston is going to be a good match. They gave him some time. They gave him a little bit of a story. But the bottom line of the situation is you have weakened. Without merit, you've weakened the OC, and there's no reason to do this. There's just no reason to do it. Kofi Kingston, AJ Styles is not a setup guy for Randy Orton any more than Drew McIntyre is a setup guy for Shane McMahon. Just not. If anything, Randy Orton should have snuck into that ring, RKO from nowhere, and AJ Styles gets the pin. The New Day yelling and screaming that Randy Orton just did that, but the referee didn't see it. Randy Orton standing up the runway laughing at it, calling Kofi Kingston stupid again. Kofi Kingston irate, getting up, pointing his finger at Randy Orton, yelling and screaming at him, and the club going away looking like sneaks who don't care how they win as long as they win. That's how you keep the OC looking okay and strong. That's how you fuel the fire between Kofi Kingston and Randy Orton a little bit, and that's how you know there's going to be more to this New Day OC coming, because they're not going to take that loss. That's a bullshit loss, and they're going to take that line down. No, we can't have any of that. Just AJ, count the ring lights, because he's on to tougher competition at SummerSlam. He's got to fight Randy Orton. Okay. Well, it was nice to have the OC for a week or two be relevant. And they're just going to – it doesn't matter if they got the belts, by the way. I've had people say, what do you mean they're irrelevant? They got all the gold. That doesn't mean anything. If all they do is lose, it's irrelevant. And it's also done another thing. It's told you 100% that Ricochet's not getting the belt. Because AJ's not losing this week, and then he's going to lose his title. After you just gave him the OC, all the belts, it's not happening. So now you've really revealed it. Now you've really done it. So if it's not bad enough that you get leaks constantly of the things you do try to keep quiet, you always tip your hand. You're like a poker player who plays with his cards face up. And then wonders, well, how come I can never bluff anybody? Because your cards are face up, you morons. This was bad, Mike. There's no reason for AJ Styles to take a loss.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like you've seen the World Series of Poker on ESPN, where they have the little camera that shows you the card, and you're thinking to yourself, well, if I had that camera in that thing, I could win just like these guys are winning. Well, that's what they're doing here, you know. And it's, like you said, this should have been the start of a Von Erich Freebird type view. For years we've said the New Day were the Freebirds. For years we've said that, and now that the OC is here, they could absolutely be the Von Erichs, but sort of in reverse because they'd be the heels. But again, they screwed that. They continually screw things up that could be big, that could be best for business.
The WWE insists on protecting next to no one. And they know what they're doing, because if they didn't know what they were doing, how many times does Brock Lesnar lose non-title matches on his way to facing someone? How many times have you seen Brock Lesnar lose a non-title match? How about zero? How many times did Ronda Rousey lose in a non-title match? How about zero? If you want to give us AJ Styles versus Kofi Kingston as a main event, I'm all for it. But you don't give us that ending. There's two ways to do this ending. One is that a melee breaks out and it's double disqualification. Two is that Randy Orton sneaks his way in there, RKOs Kofi Kingston, slides out, AJ Styles takes advantage of it, referee doesn't see it, and the New Day's left with a loss that they didn't deserve because of Randy Orton, so their business is not finished with the OC, and Kofi's business is not finished with Randy Orton. That's it. Those are the two endings to that match. Otherwise, you don't put them together. Because it doesn't end well then, does it? If AJ Styles takes the loss, irregardless to distractions, irregardless to anything else, if AJ Styles takes the loss in that particular situation, you've given away an ending before the beginning. Now, if you're going to tell me 2 months down the road after bitter feuds back and forth with each other, that's the ending of a match, fine. That's fine. I'm okay with that. But not now. If you're going to tell me Kevin Owens is going to practically kill Shane McMahon and then Drew McIntyre is going to come out of nowhere and beat his ass, or even Shane McMahon is going to get over because of Drew McIntyre and that's going to lead to KO Drew McIntyre having a blood feud for the next 2 months, fine. That's fine. But you're doing it in reverse. You're giving away the good stuff and the endings for crappier stuff later. Aleister Black beats Cesaro twice. But can he get by Sami Zayn, who's won nothing for 3 solid months? Nothing. Kevin Owens gets by Drew McIntyre, but can he get by Shane? Oh, my God. Dolph Ziggler, who wins nothing, beats Finn Balor, but can he get by The Fiend? Oh, my God. You've just destroyed SummerSlam. It's terrible. SummerSlam is terrible. Then we get this weird sort of Roman Reigns is going to announce he's going to challenge somebody, and the whole sky falls in on him, and they think he's dead, but he's okay. Who was he going to challenge? I don't know, because there's not many people left. Let's hope it's not Joe. That's another thing. You've beaten Brock Lesnar. You've beaten Braun Strowman. You've beaten AJ Styles. You've beaten Daniel Bryan. But can you beat Joe? Gee, I don't know. Everybody else has, so probably I can, yeah. Oh, my God, folks. You cannot make this up. This is terrible. You've got to restructure this entire writing staff and tell them we need to protect our investments. when we have just formed the OC, the OC don't end up losing. When we have just invested some money in these people, we are not letting them count the ring lights. People are going to have to pay to see them get beaten. People are going to have to shell out. They're going to have to watch pay-per-views to see them get beaten. We're not giving it away on TV. You know what this would be like? I'll tell you exactly what it would be like. It would be like if Dolph Ziggler fought Aleister Black right now and beat him. 1-2-3 clean, but can he beat The Miz? What? How would you feel about that? Well, that's what's happening here. This show was horrible. The wrestlers looked uninspired and just, let me get in there and get done and get out, except for the last match. The last match, which was good, was suffered from a terrible ending. You don't let AJ Styles get pinned. I know you're trying to get Kofi Kingston credibility as a champion. My God, he pinned AJ Styles. That's fine. And that's ultimately you can go there. Ultimately, you can have AJ Styles challenge Kofi Kingston if you want. But you don't give it away now. Because in most people's point of view, at least in recent history, AJ Styles is not a setup guy for Randy Orton. Randy Orton would be the setup guy for AJ Styles. If you say, well, you got by Randy Orton, but now you're dealing with AJ, that makes sense. The reverse doesn't right now. Maybe 5 years ago it would, but not now. Same way with Cesaro. You got by Cesaro, but can you get by Sami Zayn? Well, yeah, I think you can. I mean, you got by Drew McIntyre, but can you get by Shane? Yeah, you should be able to. You'd be like Brock Lesnar. Oh, he got by Braun Strowman, but can he get by Zack Ryder? Tune in for that, because that's a pay-per-view. Brock Lesnar, Zack Ryder. But first tonight, it's Brock Lesnar and Braun Strowman, and oh, he beat Braun Strowman clean, huh? But he's got to deal with that Zack Ryder at the pay-per-view. What are you doing, WWE? What are you doing? I know that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but you get my point. Please raise your hand if you think Sami Zayn's beating Aleister Black at SummerSlam. I mean, come on. That's a ludicrous match. That's ludicrous. So I don't know, folks. I don't know what to tell you. Once again, it's the booking. Once again, it's the horrible booking. And you can see it in the wrestlers. They're just – they have the life sucked out of them. They don't even – they have no passion left for the sport because there's no passion you can get in it if you just tell them, get in there and do your moves for 4 minutes. Hit all the things that makes you famous, and that's it. You ain't got no time for storyline. You ain't got no time to make it look like it's a real fight. Just get in there and do your sling blade, your little deal where you stomp on his belly, get him some your drop kick that gets him in the drop zone, and then the demon's coming, the fiend is coming. And we all know where this is going. Finn Balor is going to get beaten like a dog and taken out by the fiend, and everybody's going to say, Jesus Christ, Finn Balor is dead. I don't know if you'll ever see Finn Balor again. And then 2 months down the road, when Finn Balor's decided that he's got enough rest that he's going to come back, it's going to be the demon against the fiend. We get it. We get it. You can't make it any more obvious. Why don't you just write it right down right now? Your job is to not be this predictable. I'm sorry. I don't care, but the leaks do not help. But you're still predictable. Can we get some unpredictability? Can we get a little bit of out-of-the-box booking? Just a little bit? If you're running a wrestling federation and you already know that the fans are 100% wise to your storylines for the next 5 months based on what you're doing, you need to shake it up. You need to shake it up and say, well, we can't do that anymore. We got to change it now. Otherwise, it won't be interesting. Otherwise, the fans won't be into it. That, you wonder why fans are sitting on their hands when quality athletes like Finn Balor and Dolph Ziggler are in the ring. That's why. Because they already know what the hell's going on. It's a moot point. It's like watching a rerun of a show you saw 9 times. And you're not going to laugh again at that same joke because you're like, yeah, it was funny the first 8 times. I get it. I know what's happening now. That's what the WWE's become. Reruns of television shows you saw 1 million times. Gotcha. This is going to happen and this is going to happen. And that's going to happen and that's going to lead to this. Gotcha. Your job is to change it. So fans are left saying, I didn't see that coming. Didn't see this coming. Okay, so at the end we get who tried to kill Roman Reigns. I don't know who it is, Mike. If you want me to be brutally honest, I really don't care.
Don't care, you know. And look, we know where this Fiend thing is going, but they keep doing the Firefly Funhouse things. Now they did it a little bit different this week, but again, they keep adding things to these things, and they still keep fresh. And look, as far as people not getting beat, did Hulk Hogan, when he was going strong, ever get beat on Superstars or on Challenge or on, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s? No, he never got beat. He seldomly got beat on Saturday Night's Main Event. There were rare cases when he did, but he never got beat, you know?
Absolutely. You got to protect some of your guys, especially when they're fresh. So you say, look, but the club got stale and maybe AJ got a little stale as a face. So what we're going to do now is we're going to form this OC and they're going to be a faction to reckon with. Then they don't lose for a while. If they lose the first or second time they come out there, you're like, eh, they ain't going to be that big of a deal. Why do you do that? Why do you do that? You know how to protect people. Is Aleister Black going to lose to Sami Zayn? No. Why? Why, WWE? Well, we got to protect them. Why? You don't have to protect the club. You don't have to protect Drew McIntyre. Why are you protecting Aleister Black? Why does he need protection? I thought it doesn't matter. I thought everybody can be 50-50. How come Brock Lesnar's not 50-50? How come Ronda Rousey wasn't 50-50? If everybody's got to be 50-50, then how come they aren't? Because you know better. Now, AJ Styles is the ultimate professional. He does not give a damn. I'm telling you right now, he doesn't give a damn. AJ Styles, I can tell you for sure his mentality. Having heard 1 million interviews with AJ Styles, his mentality is, my job is to go out there and put on as good a match as I can. It doesn't really matter if I win or lose. My paycheck's the same. Let them do what they want to do. I'm here to put on my matches and do what I do. So when he's told, well, you got to go out there and lay down for Kofi Kingston, he doesn't say, well, I could understand doing that, but do you think the OC should suffer a loss so quickly? No, he's not going to do that. He's going to be like, that's fine. I don't care. You're the bookers. You're the guys who write the stories, whatever. But I got to tell you that I'm not against wrestlers sticking up for themselves a little bit and saying, hold the phone. You've just barely got us into the limelight here. We're losing? How does that make sense?
60 seconds.
You don't do that with a lot of the other people, so you know better. Ronda Rousey didn't come in this federation and lose third match in. She didn't do it. Brock Lesnar never loses until it's a pay-per-view. That's why these are big names. And you say, well, I don't know. Ronda Rousey's one of our top draws, and Brock Lesnar's one of... Why do you think they are? Because you protected them. So fans tune into the pay-per-views to see them in case they might get beat. But if you've seen them beaten 19 times on Raw and SmackDown, then it ain't no big deal if they get beat again. Is anybody wringing their hands saying, oh, my God, how is Aleister Black going to get by Sami Zayn? No. They're not. My God. It's terrible. I'm sorry, but it's terrible. And it's getting to the point now where it's an exercise in futility if you're a wrestling fan. And maybe it's me, because when I have fans tell me how great Raw was last week, and you know what they base it on? Totally. The actual quality of the match. In other words, they're saying, well, Cesaro and Rey Mysterio lit it up. Yeah, I said they lit it up. They absolutely lit it up. They were great. But the overall match, did you ever think anyone was going to win except Ricochet? And didn't you notice how they always kept it heel face, heel face, heel face? Gee, that's a miraculous turn of events, isn't it? That three heels and two faces, but never once did two heels have to be in the ring at the same time. Oh, my God. You want to talk about cookie cutter booking. You don't think Cesaro and Andretti starting off 1 and 2 would have been great? And ending up with Rey and Ricochet? Oh, my God. Come on, folks. It's the same match. It's the same ending. So why can't you give the fans that? Why can't you give the fans more? Too many of you fans are getting hamburger and insisting it's filet mignon just because the hamburger tastes good. We deserve it all. We deserve the Cesaro Rey Mysterio wonderful match they put on. I get it. We deserve that. But we deserve that storyline there, too, that we're saying, wow, this is unbelievable. Cesaro almost never hasn't lost in the last several months. And Rey has just, you know, unfairly lost his belt. This is going to be something. No, we all knew Rey was moving on. We know Cesaro's a mid-carder who's being used just to further other people. Why Sami Zayn even in it? And did anyone think Andretti was going on to face AJ Styles? So this is what I'm saying. At least if you ended with Rey and Ricochet, you'd have an argument to be made that, well, Rey never really did fairly lose that belt. And Ricochet got screwed out of it too. So here's two guys now who really do deserve to go on to face AJ Styles. We think it's probably going to be Ricochet, but maybe they'll go with Rey. Who knows? That would have been it. That would have been a sign that the WWE bookers care about you fans. And said, as long as we're giving them this match and we know we got some quality athletes in there, let's give them a storyline that's really going to make them say, oh, man, this is great. Nope, it's just cookie cutter. Good guy, bad guy, then you lose, then you're in, then you lose, and you're in. You know, that's the way it is in the WWE nowadays. We can't be bothered to give you the extra. We'll give you the ice cream sundae, but don't ask for the whipped cream, the cherry, and the crushed nuts. You get the basic. You get that's it. Don't ask for the extras. Don't ask for any thought to be put into it. Because you don't deserve it. And I'm getting tired of it. SmackDown this week damn near put me to sleep. And the reason it disappointed me so much is because when I saw Drew McIntyre and Kevin Owens was going to fight, I'm like, this could be good. This is going to be really good. I don't know what they're going to do. They're not going to let Drew lose, but they're not going to let KO lose. Something's going to happen. Shane's going to show up. Maybe Drew's going to get disqualified, but this could be good. This is going to be an angle, a big angle leading into SummerSlam. Nope. Then I find out Dolph Ziggler's fighting Finn Balor, and I'm like, I don't believe I've ever seen that. That's probably going to be a really good match, number one. And number two, we know The Fiend is interfering, so let's see how that leads to. No, it wasn't a really good match. It was ABC, go through the motions, wait for The Fiend, and let's just get out of here. Who cares about us? This match isn't about us. It's about getting The Fiend out there. So there was an opportunity wasted. Then you have the opportunity to start a feud that you could really milk because they're not on the same brands, right? And you have the New Day, and you have AJ Styles and the club, and you, wow. You could really start something there with who really is superior. That's a main event somewhere. That's a better match than you have for SummerSlam. I'd rather saw that match at SummerSlam than Randy Orton versus Kofi Kingston because you got all the champions fighting each other. That would have been friggin' awesome. Nope, just give that away and AJ lose. Who cares? big deal with the OC. They're going nowhere. You just lose. You had a great opportunity with that. And your writers are so short-sighted, they're just like, nah, give that away. We got bigger fish to fry. We're trying to build up Aleister Black and Sami Zayn. God almighty. Mike, until they realize the mistakes they're making with this, the WWE is not going to get any better.
The WWE is not going to get any better. We've said this ad nauseum, you know, about AEW. They really don't have to do a damn thing. You know, I mean, look, I'll put it to you this way, and I'll give you my grade this way. A crap sandwich with all fixings is still just a crap sandwich. So my grade is going to be an F.
Yeah, it was bad. I mean, I'm going to give it a little better than that only because I liked the match at the end. I just think the ending was ridiculously stupid and it weakened the OC when there was no need to. And the beginning was a good match, but it weakened Drew McIntyre when there was no reason to. So it's the problem is you're trying to give you're trying to make SmackDown like a little mini pay-per-view. SmackDown this week, arguably, if you took SmackDown this week and said that's going to be SummerSlam, Drew McIntyre versus Kevin Owens, that's good. That's better than Drew McIntyre versus Shane. I mean, KO versus Shane. The New Day and the OC. No, Kofi's not defending his belt. Or you could say the New Day and the OC and whoever wins gets the bragging rights of, whatever. That's fine. That would have been a great match. Maybe make it an elimination match. See who the top champion really is. Who's the last guy standing? Wow, that's pretty cool. Maybe we put Aleister Black against Shinsuke right away. That's where you're going anyway. The Fiend and Finn, that's fine. You had some good matches on SmackDown. You had lousy endings. Good matches on paper. But a lot of them didn't transfer well. Ali and Shinsuke, again, looked like they were going through the motions. If you truly wanted Ali as your number one contender, why did you let him lose clean during Smackville? Why wasn't it a disqualification win for Ali? Why wasn't it a countout win for Ali? Why wasn't it a double disqualification or whatever it happened to be? Because you didn't. See, that's the thing. You have no foresight. You didn't say Ali's going to be the number one contender and we're going to try to get him there, right away. Otherwise, in Smackville, he would have won somehow. He wouldn't have won the belt, but he would have won the match. So that the announcers could have said, well, you know, if you tuned into Smackville, you saw that Ali got a victory over Shinsuke. Now, he didn't win the belt, and it wasn't exactly a victory, but still, his hand was raised. And now here he is tonight in a rematch. And if he wins this, that means he's gone 2 for 2 with the champion. He's going to deserve a title shot. And then guess what he did? Would that have not made more sense? The problem is you don't think one day ahead. No one is going to convince me that the majority of the WWE stuff isn't written the goddamn day it's there. Because you would do that if this was planned out. And once again, you can't even call an audible and say, look, the world knows Trish Stratus is fighting Charlotte. It's all but been advertised, so we can't have Charlotte go out there and challenge her when the world already knows they're fighting. So we'll just change that quickly. Nope, you can't even do that. The long and the short of it is you've gotten lazy, you've gotten tired, and you've gotten complacent. And your wrestlers are suffering for it because they know they don't have to do anything. They don't have to bust their ass. They don't have to do this, that, or the other thing. They're getting complacent. No, I can just go out there and do 4 minutes. I don't even have to worry about brushing up my skills. Who cares? I'm doing the same four moves I do every single goddamn day of my life, and I could do it in my sleep. So I don't have to bust ass. I don't have to come up with different moves and innovative moves, and I don't have to change my style. I don't have to change the order I do things in. Why bother? Why bother? I'll just do what I do. I'll just go out there and say my catchphrase. That's kind of what it is like, you know? It's just terrible. That's why I like AJ Styles so much. That's why I like Cesaro so much, because they do have their signature moves. But if you watch a Cesaro match or an AJ Styles match, they make sure they do them differently. They make sure they mix it up a little bit. So you're saying that's not exactly like it was before. Some of these people, it is exact. If I put on that match, you wouldn't even know. You'd be like, well, I don't know. What is this, from 2 months ago or now? Or it's the same exact thing. Wrestling is losing its passion in the WWE because the wrestlers are being told you don't need any. Just go out there and be a robot. I'm going to give it a D. Todd, what's your rating?
I'm going to give it a kind of, like you have, a D.
This is not good, folks. This is not good. We got SummerSlam literally a week away. You're going to have one more bite at the apple Monday night and one more bite at the apple Thursday night to make people want to see what you can do at the pay-per-view. But I'm about to read you the pay-per-view, and you tell me which matches you're totally super interested in. The Miz versus Dolph Ziggler. We've seen this on television 45 times. They always put on a great match, and I expect this to maybe be one of the matches of the night. But due to the fact that the way both of these guys are booked, no one cares. Aleister Black versus Sami Zayn. Boy, there's a knuckle biter, huh? Whoever will win. Is there a reason to watch it? Charlotte Flair versus Trish Stratus because, oh yeah, we forgot to build anybody else up in the women's division, so bring back a legend. At least she has a name. AJ Styles versus Ricochet in a match we've seen twice on television, and the belt's not changing hands. The Fiend versus Finn Balor. The only reason anyone cares about this match is to finally see The Fiend actually wrestle a match. The outcome is a foregone conclusion. It won't even be a good match because they're not going to let Finn get that much offense in. Kevin Owens versus Shane? Ironically, Shane McMahon, you're on TV too much. Shane McMahon, nobody wants to see you wrestle. Shane McMahon, I'm going to wrestle you. Does that make sense? See, if they had done a situation where Kevin Owens would have said, look, I'm not afraid of Shane McMahon. He's irrelevant, and I'm not fighting him. He's not a professional wrestler. And the more you play into his fantasies of him being a professional wrestler, the more relevant he seems. So, no, he's going to come out here, and he's going to dig at me and insult me and try to back jump me and everything else. Shane, you don't have the right to fight someone who's a professional, and you're not getting it from me. Then eventually, let him push him too far and say, if that's what you really want, Shane. But just remember, you asked for it. That would have been a hell of a lot better. So Kevin Owens versus Shane. If Owens loses, he has to quit. So, gee, I wonder who's going to win. Bayley versus Ember Moon. There's a match that I'm sure you're going to walk 100 miles to see. Becky Lynch versus Natty. Oh, my God. Randy Orton versus Kofi Kingston. Because Randy Orton is definitely going to be the champion again, because, boy, that'll draw. And Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins. So, I mean, come on. SummerSlam is terrible. It's just terrible. It's a glorified episode of Raw. And we're going to get on to that next week, but this is not what SummerSlam should be at all. And Roman Reigns is probably going to fight somebody. Who knows who. I guess we can make our guesstimates, but, I have no idea. There's not that many people left. So I don't know, Mike. I mean, I don't think it's shaping up to be very good.
I don't think it's very good either. Look, I did see the advertisement, the whole thing with him and The Rock doing the movie together. That could be, I don't know what Reigns is going to do. I mean, like you said, there were times when they had things that could have been big that they didn't do. I mean, the Wyatt versus the Shield could have been huge, and they never pulled the trigger on it. They never pull the trigger. Just
nope.
Like this whole thing with the New Day and the OC could be huge, and they screwed it up.
The New Day and the OC could have sold out arenas anywhere they went. And you know what? They could go 50-50. The Freebirds and the Von Erichs kind of went 50-50, but you don't go 50-50 all the time. Their first match, you don't say you lose. You build it up where, wow, nobody's really winning or losing. We're getting a lot of draws, countouts, double DQs, cheap victories by the bad guys. And you wait for that one satisfying, clean victory by the good guys. That's how wrestling used to be. The bad guys would get over. Oh, the referee didn't see that. That's bullshit. The good guys didn't really lose that match. Oh, man, he hit the guy on the outside of the ring and the bad guy flew back in before the 10 count and he couldn't get in time. That's not really a victory. How dare those guys act like they won? That's how the bad guys used to get the victories. And then finally, after months and months and months of fighting, you'd get that one satisfying big victory where you say, there's no doubt about it. There's no disputing it. The good guys pinned their shoulders. That's it. That's how wrestling used to be. And you never knew when that one victory was coming. So you'd watch all these matches because you're like, oh, man, it was a double DQ tonight. Oh, man. The good guy hit the bad guy back into the ring at the count of 9.5, and he couldn't get back in. So my guy's lost, but not really lost. Or, oh, man, they cheated. The referee didn't see that foreign object or didn't see that interference. That's bullshit. You kept going, waiting for the one night that those good guys were going to get that satisfying victory. And when they did, you went home happy that night and said, I saw it. Nothing the bad guys can say. There was no cheating. There was no distraction. There was no nothing. They beat them. We don't get that anymore. They just beat them right now. Beat them right now. Feud over. Unbelievable. I do not get this. This is not the pro wrestling I remember, and it's fundamentally changed to the point where I don't know how anybody's enjoying it. If I tell you, oh, yeah, your favorite team, your favorite baseball team, they lost 8-4. But nobody scored any runs until, the seventh inning. Are you going to watch the whole game? Are you going to sit there with your popcorn and say, oh, well, I love baseball, so I'm still going to watch this whole entire game, even though I know my team loses 8-4. No, you're not. You're going to watch the highlights and say it's good enough. Well, that's what wrestling has become. We already know what the score is, so why are we watching the whole entire game? And it's up to wrestling, specifically the WWE, to change that and say, no, you don't know what the score is. Because just when you think you got that score, just when you think you know what's going to happen, we're going to change it on you. We're going to keep you guessing. Then you got something. Until the WWE wants to put themselves, us against the fans, in Twitter wars and who's to blame and all this stuff, how about you put us against the fans in a battle of wits? Can we outsmart you guys? Can we plant fake leaks? Oh, this is going to happen, but it's really not. We planted that on purpose to make you think it was going to happen. When are you going to get creative? When are you going to get a little bit intelligent and say, look, our fans are intelligent. We're going to have to outsmart them. We're going to have to plant things to make it look like this is going to happen, but that's not what's going to happen. We're going to have to lead them down this road of, oh, I see what's going to go on. Nope, that's not it. It's not that hard. It's really not that hard because you got the pen. You can change anything at any time you want. And yet you won't. You stubbornly cling to, no, this is what we wrote 3 months ago. And even though 2 months ago it was leaked that that's what's going to happen, we're still going to do it. Because we're too good to change. It's too good to change. I would change anything. That doesn't mean every match has to be a surprise. What it means is you've got to get your plot lines together and say, if the fans sort of see it's leaning this way, let's swerve them a little and do this. Let's go in this direction. At least have two or three outs for any storyline. At least have that. Just in case. Say, well, we really want this to happen. But if it really starts to get obvious that that's what's happening, we can go and do this. Or we can go and do this. Either one would be a surprise. How come you can't do that? You're professional writers. You have to be prepared for the possibility that fans have read into your storyline and you've made it too obvious and now it's boring. Now, some things have to happen. If you need the belt to change hands, you need the belt to change hands. If that guy has to have the belt, he has to have the belt. I get it. But overall, your job is to try as hard as you can to keep the fans guessing, or at least a few times throw them a curveball that you say, wow, I did not see that coming. What do you think is going to happen if a pitcher gets on the mound and tells the batter, fastball, inside part of the plate, 95 miles an hour. That's all I'm throwing. Well, then it's going to be a short night for that pitcher because he's going to get battered all over the mound. Well, that's what the WWE is doing. We're telling you exactly what we're throwing at you. Exactly what we're throwing. You can't do that. Get your writers in a room and tell them for every storyline you come up with, we want two outs. Just in case we don't like the direction it's going, the fans don't like the directions it's going, it becomes too damn obvious and boring, give us a couple outs. That's all you have to do. And think a little bit outside the box and protect the people you want the fans to pay to see. The only reason fans pay to get into an arena, see, the WWE now thinks, well, they're such big stars that fans are just paying to see stars. Wins or losses or nothing matters. They're a WWE superstar, so you're going to pay to see them. That's not true. Fans pay to see a conclusion they hope is going to happen. That's what gets wrestling fans excited. That's why you're not getting crowds cheering and yelling and screaming anymore, because we know the outcomes. We're not hoping for outcomes. We're waiting for the inevitable. You got to make them hope for an outcome. Maybe tonight's the night I'll finally see that bastard get a loss he deserves. Maybe tonight's the night my favorite guy does get that belt. Maybe tonight's the night we do see this team come together and win the belts. Or maybe tonight's the night we see this team break up. But if they already know, oh, yeah, you know, you better go tonight because you know what's going to happen. So-and-so is going to turn on so-and-so tonight. I read that. Yeah, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I read that a couple of months ago. Yeah, and then they're going to fight in this match. And, oh, okay, well, then I guess I'll go see that. Well, what's that? That is the main problem, Mike, the WWE needs to solve.
Right, yeah. That is the main problem they need to resolve, and secondarily, I mean, look at some of the things that have gone on. I mean, we've talked ad nauseum how NXT is totally different from the WWE. Best example of that is what happened on this past week's NXT and how they brought back and put back together Breezango.
Yep.
All right? That's the best example of it. What did they do? They had a match between Tyler Breeze and one of, I believe it was Buddy Murphy's ex-partner. I think it was. And as it was looking like the Forgotten Sons were going to beat him down, who should show up but Fandango and makes a save. And there's your reuniting of Breezango, you know?
Yeah. Well, see, that's what I mean. And guess what? It wasn't leaked. Nobody said, hey, by the way, tune into NXT because, you know, we're going to have this happen and that happen. You have, and yeah, I mean, some people might have known it, but the bottom line of the situation is this. Creative, intelligent storylines that keep the fans guessing. Todd, there's a million murder mystery shows. And if they tell you who did it at the beginning, which sometimes they do, like in Columbo, they used to tell you who did it in the beginning, but they never told you how it was going to be discovered. If you knew how it was going to be discovered, why would you watch it? You're wasting an hour of your life.
It's like they do a spoiler in front at the beginning of the show. Who killed this person? It's supposed to be like at the end. Like you're supposed to be surprised at the end of the episode of a Columbo or the Law and Order.
I guess we're supposed to be shocked of who. I mean, I guess we should take a stab at it. Who do you think Roman Reigns was on his way to challenge when this happened to him, Mike?
Probably, maybe it was Brock Lesnar. I don't know. I don't know. I really don't.
Is Braun Strowman doing anything? I mean, could that is that possible? I know they're not on the same brand, but it would have to be somebody. I don't know. Lars Sullivan's out of it. I don't think he's back. So I have no idea, really. I know that it's probably not going to be a huge match because they'd have built it up by now. We only got 1 week, Todd. Who do you think it might be?
Oh, like you said, I got no idea who did that this past Tuesday night. It's a mystery right there. It's a mystery.
So at least we have that. At least we have that. At least they gave us that. But then please make it something shocking. Don't make it a disappointment. Make it something shocking so that we can say, holy crap, I definitely didn't see that coming. Which means it better not be Samoa Joe or somebody that's irrelevant like Elias. And this is another thing. How long ago was it? And I know we're running a little over time here, but still. How long ago was it that we were saying Elias could be the biggest thing in the WWE and now, Mike, he's nothing?
You're right. How long has it been? You know, I mean, when you're asking that, the answer should be right there in your head when somebody asks you, how long is it been? It's not, you have to rack your brain and think about it. How long has it been? You know?
Totally destroyed that character, just like they do most. Anyway, folks, we will be back here on Sunday with a little bit more news on SummerSlam, and we'll talk to you then.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.